This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, team.
It was a nice morning this morning.
It was beautiful out. A little misty. I had to turn the wipers on just a couple times.
Were you sad?
Oh, no.
Not that kind of
not
misty.
Not that misty.
Yeah. I had no... It was dry at my house. I was expecting some drizzle. They're talking about it this weekend. But I didn't. I experienced none.
It was nice. It's warming up.
It's definitely warming up.
Yeah. Although it'll be interesting to see what happens. I have a friend of mine is the captain of the Robert Sprawl. It's a research vessel for Scripps, and they're underway right now. And they were going to recover a science experiment offshore. And he said the wind had already picked up to 20 knots, but the seas had not followed yet. So they were hoping. They were hoping that they would be able to release it from the ocean floor, grab it, and get out of there before things got really messy. So I think there's some disturbed weather off the coast at this point in time.
I'm going to make a disturbed joke. You were looking at me when you said disturbed, so I
so was
thought,
I. I was going to go down that road as well.
Yeah. But it was interesting. He said, I'm not exactly sure where they are, but they dropped the science experiment off, sinks to the bottom. And then it sits there for however long it needs to sit there and percolate. And then they send down a signal to automatically release it. And from the time that they release it, it takes it a half an hour to get to the surface.
Wow. It makes decompression stops?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just coming straight up. But that's a long that's way. Pretty. That's a long way. It's a long way down. So anyway, so hopefully the captain and crew can get their experiment recovered and get out of there before things get too out of hand.
I thought you were using that story to talk about the upcoming weather. We were going to have some rain or there's a...
No, I don't. I actually have no idea what the weather is supposed to be like. But
except it's disturbed.
It's disturbed, yes.
It is supposed to be cool this weekend, breezy, and chance of drizzle. But it's supposed to warm up after the Memorial Day weekend.
Mm. We'll see.
Our resident meteorologist, David Ross.
Let's see. What do we have going on this weekend? Both stores are dark this weekend for classes. There's not going to be any classes in San Diego or Poway.
However. Go ahead.
Both stores will be open on Monday for Memorial Day, our regular hours. So if you're looking for some extra shopping time, you will have that available. Moving into June already, which just seems crazy. We're almost halfway through the year already.
A year, I know. That's nuts.
San Diego classes on June 4th. It's High Yields with Richard DeLeo. And in Poway, it's going to be Aquatic Plants, Care, and Culture with John Clements from the San Diego Botanical Garden. So those should be a couple of good classes. June 11th, Growing Healthy Soil with Randy Ritchie from Malibu Compost. And if you've never been to one of Randy's classes, you can come and watch him eat a handful of compost.
Yes. So,
something that I'll just take his word on.
Yeah.
Sounds like such a treat. And I've always missed it when he comes in to do it. Have you witnessed
it,
George? Oh,
I've witnessed it, yes.
No.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Right. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Exactly. And then in Poway, it's going to be on the 11th. It's All About Composting with Steve Atkinson. And who's Steve?
Steve is at, you know Mike Atkinson from the Plumeria world.
Yeah,
it's his son.
Okay,
and he has a Atkinson family farm. They do a lot of sustainability and sustainable farming, along with permaculture and chicken things. So he's been in and did a class for us on permaculture earlier last year. Did a great job. So we're bringing him back for this one.
Okay. So starting next weekend again, classes in San Diego start at 9 o'clock. Classes in Poway start at 9:30. Get there early to get a good seat. Grab a cup of coffee and see what's going on. How was the spider class?
Phenomenal.
That was that last weekend?
No, it was two weeks prior.
Okay.
It was great. It was very well received. I think we had 35, 40 people in there. It went well.
Well, I was gone last weekend. So
weekend was not a good class.
Did we deploy the seats that have the little vibration in them so that when he was showing the spiders? Yeah.
No, we failed. The batteries were dead.
Oh, darn it. Last week's class was.
Was that your class?
Yeah. Dull.
No. Well, it was our class. Dull.
You can take equal responsibility for that. Let's see. Under the San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation, they are also dark this weekend. There's nothing going on in Balboa Park as far as they are concerned. But the following weekend, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, it's the San Diego Cactus and Succulent Society annual show and sale at the Casa del Prado in Balboa Park. And the 10th, 11th, and 12th is going to be the San Diego Bromeliad Society show and sale. So probably if you're interested in either of those, probably a couple of good reasons to get down to the park.
And if you're not interested in those things, you should be.
Well, I would say so.
Okay.
You should always be interested in stuff like
that. That's why you're listening to the show.
I would think so. So anyway, Melanie and I got back from North Carolina on Monday, and we went to Jordan's Garden Center, which is in near downtown Raleigh. It's just a couple blocks from the hotel that we stay at, and it was spectacular. I think Melanie's going to write a newsletter article about it. But there's a train station not far from where we are. I think it was the Seaborne Station. And beautiful old building. It's no longer a train station. They had repurposed it into this huge nursery and garden center. And it's beautiful. I mean, they have all kinds of stuff. And it was interesting. They had a big table of fancy bromeliads. They had, or not bromeliads, begonias. They had Rex begonias. Okay. They had begonia maculatas and a bunch of other really interesting begonias. Annuals. They sell them as annuals. all their cactus and succulents are in a greenhouse, so that they're all interior plants.
Right.
One of the biggest things in landscape plants back in North Carolina is hollies. And they have so many different kinds of hollies, and they are absolutely perfect. They're just beautiful plants. And one of the things that caught my eye, a lot of the plant material that they have is Monrovia.
Right.
So they're bringing it up from Cairo in Georgia.
Okay.
But like they had 24 gallon. I can't remember.
Emerald colonnade.
Emerald colonnade ilexes. They were as tall as I am and probably about 3 feet wide.
Wide.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. $580 for those things.
Wow.
And they had several of them in stock.
You want an instant screen?
Yeah.
Right.
They not only had all the plant material outside, they also had a cafe inside the building. They had the regular store inside the building, and then they had like a little farmer's market thing in the store inside the building too. But we did find out just before we left that whole area has been acquired by a developer, so it may not be long for this world. So anyway, if you're a plant geek and you find yourself in Raleigh, North Carolina, do yourself a favor and go check out Jordan's, because it's well worth going to take a look at.
Did that rekindle your want for a riding train in Poway?
No.
Okay, good.
No. But it is literally right next to the railroad tracks, and all the passenger platforms, the covered passenger platforms is where they have a lot of their plants on display. And they really like Boston ferns. They had a sale on, I think they were 10 or 12 inch Boston ferns, and beautiful plants. If you buy four, you get a fifth one for free. And I think they were about $25 a piece, but they were big Boston ferns. So kind of interesting. The other thing that's interesting too is the majority of when you get out into the suburbs, the majority of the houses, they have huge lawns because they don't have to pay for water.
Water, right.
But landscaping is just a few shrubs around the house, and that's about it.
Yeah.
There's not, in most cases, there's not a lot of fancy landscaping back there.
I wonder if that's because everything's green and growing anyway.
Could be. I mean, you see the house, it's got hollies around it, and that's about it. The other thing that was just spectacular this time of the year was the magnolias were all in full bloom, and they are huge back there. They get really
southern
big.
Or just the evergreens or the deciduous?
Yes. The evergreens. Yeah. I mean, they're just massive, massive trees, and they're everywhere. As you're driving around, you see them all over the place. Really, really pretty. They don't grow like that. The only one that I can think of that grows like that out here is there's an old Victorian house on, I think it's on First Avenue, south of Laurel, just south of Laurel Street.
Yeah.
I think it's an architect. Last I saw it was like an architect's office or something like that. And they have a massive,
huge.
I'm guessing it's a Magnolia grandiflora, but yeah, it's as tall as the house.
Right.
Yeah, a huge, huge specimen, beautiful plant.
And that's completely opposite of my experience when I was just in St. Louis the week prior. All the yards in the area that we were in were just beautifully landscaped with like peonies and columbines. Everything was in bloom, roses, including all the evergreen shrubs and such.
Yeah, when you get into the urban areas of Raleigh, in the residential districts, there's a lot more landscaping in the urban areas. But when you move out into the suburbs where people have more land.
This is in some areas with some big properties, but nonetheless, I was in awe of all the color.
Yeah, I was hoping the dogwoods were going to be in bloom, but talking to my daughter, she said that they had already cycled through. So all
you can just go to the Poway Garden. We have them there at the nursery in Poway.
Do we still have some up there?
There were two
in the back. Yeah.
Oh, I missed them. I'll have to go and search them out. One of the things that I've seen chatter about online recently is in San Diego, jacarandas are just cranking right now. And I'm guessing that might have something to do with the lack of rain that we had this winter. Because I know that they
always crank this time of the year.
But but some years more than others. And I think when we have drier winters,
when they're stressed,
they bloom more.
Like
you don't believe you don't are you poo-pooing that?
I am poo-pooing that.
Yeah.
So at my folks' house, there's an enormous jacaranda tree that's been there since probably 1960, maybe 1965. And every year we usually get together at my folks' house for Easter and then for early birthdays in May. And every year my dad is worried about it because it doesn't look good. You know, there's nothing happening to it. But around mid to late May, it always looks great, and it's in full bloom, and it's in full bloom right now. Always, almost. That's
why well, I just said that they bloom. My experience is they tend to bloom more in drier seasons. That's my contention.
Okay, I will not argue with your experience. Then there are lots of beautiful blooms.
Think about all the jacarandas downtown that get very little water.
Yes.
So they get stressed in the wintertime because they're not getting the rainwater. And then they tend to bloom more.
Do they?
I believe that's
okay,
the case.
Okay, so I the next several years, David's going to be taking pictures.
I'll be done with this before we get back to the nursery.
You'll be done with this before we finish this segment.
Oh, yeah. But I did listen and pay attention, so this I will remember tomorrow.
Okay.
So we're good. No, they usually bloom. They always look really good, but maybe
this is the time of the year that they do look good. Yes.
And maybe they look gooder this year because it's been dry.
That's my contention.
I think you're right. There we go. I made it.
A concession.
All right. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. You listen to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this. We'll be right back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-1170 is the number. 888-344-1170 is the number. You might need those extra digits in there if you're going to try to get through. Some interesting things that are showing up quite a bit in San Diego these days. I know in Scripps Ranch, bobcats have become a new thing. We actually caught one on a camera in our backyard. It was just cruised right past our sliding glass door about 2:30 in the morning a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
And disappeared into the planter. But a lot of people have been on the Scripps Ranch Information Exchange on Facebook. A lot of people have been posting pictures of bobcats in and around Scripps Ranch.
Have they been posting pictures of missing cats at the same time or no?
Most people keep their animals inside.
It's probably a good
anymore.
Idea.
As they and should.
There's,
at this point, yeah.
I was walking home from my neighbor's house a couple of weeks ago after the poker game, and right down the middle of our street, the coyote came just walking down and then turned the corner and went down the.
Well, didn't you say
together.
A couple weeks ago here?
We saw one here about a month ago.
Yeah, Ken and I saw one outside. There was one in my backyard two nights ago that was basically sleeping right up against our patio. Our golden retriever was going bonkers, wanting to go outside and deal with it.
The other thing that is showing up in large, large numbers is rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
We have a huge rattlesnake season this year.
Why are you laughing, George?
Well, a week or two ago, Capri was cutting the lawn and accidentally, inadvertently got rid of two of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With small ones?
A little one and a very large one.
Oh, really?
With
wow.
the lawnmower.
Well,
yeah.
God, how deep is their lawn?
Well, what one was right at the edge of a patio section where cutting the lawn, and the wheel hit it. And then the other one was panic when one was in front of her bringing the lawnmower around the yard and just pushed the lawnmower to get out of the way and ran over the – pushed it to attack the big rattlesnake, very big rattlesnake.
Well, I take it the lawnmower was running at the time?
Lawnmower was running. Lawnmower won.
Wow.
Wow.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
But there was an article this week in the San Francisco Gate talking about rattlesnakes, saying that there's a larger population right now and the chances of seeing them are higher this year. They'd attribute it to a number of reasons, but
I guess that if the chances of seeing them are higher, the chances of you getting bit by one are probably higher too.
Also true.
Yeah, I could do without that.
Yeah.
Well, nobody wants to get bitten by a rattlesnake.
Well, I don't want to get bit by any snake.
Oh, come on.
I don't want to get bitten by anything, not just snakes. But...
Well, I'm not suggesting you go out and
good point. Yeah.
But I have seen many more rattlesnakes over the last few years in the backcountry hiking.
I've seen more lately than I've seen in a long time.
But I haven't heard of more people being bitten.
No, that's true. But I don't know how much –
publicity it gets.
How much publicity it gets.
250 people a year, roughly, on average, are being bitten in California with rattlesnakes.
Rattlesnakes. I have oft said that if I ever get bitten while hiking accidentally.
You're going to die?
If I accidentally get bitten, that nobody's going to believe it was just an accident. That
they're going to think that I was playing with it
or doing something stupid that I would do.
Oh, like that guy that tried to kiss one up a few years ago and it bit him in the face?
No, not like that, but just... playing or something
similar,
rather than just passing by and having it. Because sometimes on some of the trails, the trails are not very wide.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot see what is maybe a foot from your foot.
Yeah.
So if there's a rattlesnake sitting right there, it might reach out to say hello. That's what I
Okay,
think
I'm not
about.
Going hiking anymore.
They normally give you the adequate warning, though.
Done.
Yeah.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to head up to Vista where Fran is waiting. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to, you didn't mention it, but I'm going to mention it. On the 26th of June, you're going to have the bonsai class. And I had an event in Poway, and I went early so that I could stop by the store, and I signed up for it. So there's three of us for sure. We're signed up. And nothing is going to stop me this time because I missed two other of your events like that. And this one, yeah, I'm good to go.
Well, good. We're glad you're going to join us.
Yes, and you already had me laughing this morning about the rattlesnakes and everything else. It's the usual show. It's very informative, and you get a laugh out of it too.
Well, we're glad you enjoy it. Thanks for getting up and sharing your morning with us.
Okay, and thank you, and have a good weekend, guys.
Hey, just to be clear, mark your calendar. That class is the 25th, not the 26th. If you said 26th,
I thought I said the 25th.
Okay, I didn't hear it. I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, it's the 25th.
Thank you.
And I'm signed up, and I've got my receipt, so nothing's stopping me.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see you then, Fran.
Guys, bye.
Take care.
And that's a workshop, right?
It is a workshop, right. That's why she has a receipt. There'll be a plant she's going to turn into some kind of little bonsai and take home.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
I agree.
All right. 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go talk to Barbara in San Diego. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What can we do for you?
Hey, I have, I live in a condo and I have a small yard. I've already got a nectarine tree planted out there, and I have a navel orange in a whiskey barrel, and I want to transplant that. How far apart do they have to be? Excuse me.
They don't have to just not to impede each other's sun. They can be very relatively close to each other. When I was planting trees, I did three steps. And they've grown very close together. About 8 to 10 feet apart. And they've grown together, and that's in the ground, not in a container.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and if you can space them out to the point where you have access in between them, that will be helpful too, just from a care standpoint.
All right. Okay. All right, great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Barbara. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay, take care.
I have been informed that rattlesnakes are not toys, just so that everybody knows.
Well, I knew that.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I guess some people don't think that I may have known that, but I do know that.
Well, you know what's funny? Out of the 58 years that I've lived in Southern California, the only time I've seen a rattlesnake in the wild was hiking up to Vernal Falls in Yosemite one summer years ago. There was one curled up. It was just curled up on a rock about 6 feet off of the trail, and there were just people standing there gawking at it.
That's one of those fake ones they put out there.
It could have very well been, but it
edge of respect.
It was perfectly happy. It wasn't even moving. I mean, it was just curled up. So
now you'd mentioned coyotes down the street.
Yes,
and I just received a note from Capri, who was, I guess, walking the dogs and just out front, and said three huge coyotes are rattling our fruit trees this morning, and they have no fear of me. Now, I told David one of our peach trees in Eva's Pride that had a large concentration of fruit on it was ripped off the tree yesterday by coyotes.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And last year we lost, and this happens to everybody. We're not special. If you've got fruit trees, coyotes and other rodents are out there destroying it. But we lost a lot of persimmons as well.
Yeah,
They just ripped the branches off the tree. They're not very good at picking just the fruit.
Just the fruit.
They tend to
Have you considered training them?
I have
Since
not.
They're going to take the fruit, maybe you should invest some time.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of time on how to pick it. Maybe just grabbing the individual fruits and pulling them off.
Or you could try the Barona Casino method of rose garden care.
Good call.
And pick put them out on a table or in a little saucer, so maybe they'll just take the
that's
fruit
a great
that you
idea.
Want. Put one down every night.
But then they'll say that's not the best one. So you have to, you know.
I'm solutions oriented.
If you have more than one coyote, they might fight over it, which could cause a problem.
Well, that could take care of the problem.
I didn't know coyotes fought to the death over a persimmon, but I guess they could.
I don't know that either.
I didn't even know I liked persimmons until George had the problem. But
you like persimmons?
No, coyotes.
Oh! I thought you said you didn't know you liked persimmons until George.
They are opportunist, as you know. There are quite a number of fruits that they prefer, but they will eat a lot of different things out of your yard.
Yeah, they'll go after I think they'll go after grapes too, as they start to get more ripe and juicy. 888-344-1170 is the number if you want to give us a call. Plumeria cuttings are in Poway. I would imagine they have some in San Diego at this point. Not yet.
They came from a place that they don't normally get cuttings from.
Oh, okay.
So I mean that they don't normally buy from.
Okay.
So maybe not.
Well, I know we have them, and we have quite a few of them in Poway. We also have potted plumerias available now too. Those have started to come in.
Yes.
So I would imagine those are probably in San Diego at this point.
Yeah, I assume so too. I don't know.
Buying from the same from the same sources on that one. So if you want to get plumerias started for the summertime, now would be a great time to do it. And they're pretty easy to grow. And once they're established, they take very little care.
Can we go back to fruit for a minute?
Go ahead.
I've been thinning. My beauty plum, it's one. This is its second year in the ground from a 5-gallon. And it is loaded with fruit. And George was kind of being mean a few weeks ago. He was sending me pictures of his ripe beauty plum while mine were still small and green.
He was bullying you?
Yes, he was. He was.
online bullying.
Exactly.
Are you going to be bullying back now?
No, that's, you know, turnabout is, no. You never answer a angry word with another angry word, for it is the second that creates the argument. So I'm not going to fight with him. But I have been thinning out my green beauty plums, and they're getting bigger, and I've been eating them because I don't want to waste them, and I don't want the coyotes to get them. And they're very tart, but they're good. I will bring you guys some green beauty plums next week, and they'll be a week riper than they were this morning when I was... The plant is loaded with fruit, and I'm not a thinner. I'd rather have a ton more fruit, but it's going to break the branches on this young tree, so... Anyway, I don't know if you guys have tried your green plums, if you would eat such a thing, but some
I'd give it a try.
Some varieties have decent, a better flavor, but they are quite
Is beauty a green plum or is it
green?
No, it's a reddish
red.
Yeah. Does it stay kind of amber on the inside, or is it red
on the inside? I honestly don't recall because I've got a lot of I don't recall that one.
Yeah, and you hadn't taken a bite out of it yet. You just sent me a smiling face and a ripe plum.
And that was a new tree. That was newly. It was a bare root back in earlier this year. So nice little precocious thing.
I'll bring some beauty plums next week. They're wonderful.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ, KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. I don't know if we mentioned it before or not, but one of the things that works really well in keeping snails and slugs out of your fruit trees is the copper barriers.
Yes.
And we used to have the solid copper barriers, which were kind of a pain to deal with. But the new one that we have is the woven copper barrier, and it's in
looks
both.
Like a bull pad sort of.
But very open.
Right.
It's very lightweight, and it's super easy to work with. I mean, you can cut it with a pair of scissors, you can wrap it around the trunk of your tree, zip tie it in place, and that works. You've had very good luck.
I use the copper tape. I've shared pictures of it. It's worked well. It does tarnish over time, and you have to replace it. But it has been very effective, at least for those white. More so for those white snails that mm-hmm. tend to hang out all day. The Theba paisana that hang out.
Yeah. So it's very easy to use, and it's also significantly less expensive than the solid barrier that we used to have. So as a matter of fact, I just reordered some for back stock.
We should have used some in Poway yesterday. One of our coworkers had acquired one as a pet and put it in a cup on the counter for later to name and take home. But it
disappeared?
It disappeared.
I think the chickens got it. What's interesting on the one she had, it was a unique-looking snail as far as the shell. It was much more colorful than most of the other brown garden snails.
I wonder if they... Oh, never mind.
We also had an errant praying mantid egg case
at
customer service that decided to unleash its hatchlings, and there were little tiny quarter-inch long praying mantids all over customer service.
They weren't
big enough to bite people yet, but they were all over the place. I don't know if they're still there or not.
We put one under the microscope. We did not harm it in doing it. So, but I took a video. I'll share it later. A video of it. It was cleaning its paws like a cat would do.
Yeah, I've seen them do that. Yeah.
I have pictures of the one eating Shirley's finger.
Yeah. It actually drew blood. That's why I was joking about hasn't bitten anybody yet.
Yeah. Well, I should have tried. If I hadn't kicked it across the yard, I could have gotten a picture of the one that bit my toe not too long after Shirley got bit on the finger. So that was a big one, too.
I wonder if mantis bites have gone up in the county this year.
That's a good question. Until Shirley got bit by it, I had never heard of a human being getting bitten by it. More or less drawing blood.
It wasn't really a bite. It was more of envision a little kid or any adult with a cob of corn and kind of mowing down the sides. It was extraordinary. I thought she was laughing.
That was the fun part. She came up to us and she was holding her hand out going, "It's biting me."
And she was kind of chuckling. Giggling at
the same time. It's biting. And then all of a sudden it went from, "It's biting me," to, "It's biting me. It's biting me."
Yeah, it became a little more dire
at that point, yes.
Yeah, well, it's smart.
And fortunately, it only required first aid and didn't require a workers' comp claim.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You said, I wonder how many people jokingly you were saying that, but most of us have held praying mantids our whole life. As a kid, I would pick them up, I'd hold them, I'd let them walk around. I mean, the pictures I've shared on our nursery page with praying mantids are on my hand. I've never given it a second thought.
Right.
Now I'm a little hesitant after watching that.
Yeah, I would be. And then I had seen in a chat that some people believe that the jury is out as far as praying mantids are concerned, as far as beneficial insects.
Well, even UC speaks to it because they're
omnivores.
They'll eat anything from your bumblebee to your
hummingbird,
honeybee to your ladybug larvae.
I had one hanging out on my hummingbird feeder. It was never fast enough, big enough, or strong enough to get one, but it was kept moving around the feeder from side to side
Just waiting.
And there are some videos that you can find of them attacking hummingbirds.
Yeah.
So, but they
that
do,
might be
but
disturbing
they,
for some.
Yes, they do eat a lot of bad insects.
Yeah, they
are. I mean, so it probably balances out more so in favor of being beneficial, I would think.
And in all honesty, they're kind of cute. So
they got that going for
yes.
them.
Yeah. Yes.
They're different looking. That's for sure.
That's what they say about me.
That's for sure.
I don't know if different's the word that I heard, but.
Exactly.
It's radio. We've got to clean it up.
Exactly.
Milkweed is finally in good supply. We have tropical milkweed in stock. We have
native.
We have the actual Asclepias tuberosa, the true tuberosa in stock, which looks different than the tropical milkweed. The foliage is a little bit narrower and a little bit more velvety. It's actually a really pretty plant, and we have a lot of narrow leaf milkweed in stock too.
And you know what else we have a lot of?
What?
Monarchs. They're just all over the nursery at this when they come for the Asclepias, and it's nice because then people get to go and start looking for caterpillars, which they enjoy doing.
Yeah,
we also have, at least in the Poway store, some of the swamp milkweed.
What is the swamp milkweed?
What is that? Incarnata? Incarnat?
You brought it up.
Well, I don't recall what the species was. It's Asclepia, but
no, I'll have to look that
we had
up.
Some came in yesterday.
Does it, as the name would imply, want more water? Is it a one you'd plant where it's a little wetter in the, or am I?
I think,
can look into it.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
I just know we have a bunch of it there.
Cool.
So anyway, if you have monarch caterpillars that are eating your plants out of house and home, we have replacements for them to continue chowing down on. You know what else I saw out in the native section? It was the biggest one I've ever seen. It was well tall. It was way taller than me. A Toyon patio tree. It looked really nice. It was probably about 6 or 6.5, 7 feet tall. Nice head on it, and it was totally loaded with flower buds. So it's going to be in full bloom.
That would be
shortly.
A really nice patio tree. I've never seen one trained like that.
I've never seen one either. Out of all the natives, Toyon's one of my favorites. When it's grown well, it's a beautiful plant, and the red berries on it are just spectacular when they're
a native pyracantha, almost
kind of.
I mean, just an appearance.
It's an appearance, yeah. Or
that's a good way to describe it.
Great for fall and winter decorations.
Yeah,
and
but it was a 15-gallon patio tree, and then we had a 5-gallon patio tree that was a little bit smaller. But they look really nice trained that way. Like you said, I'd never seen one trained that way before. I've only seen them in bush form.
Yeah, bush form.
Well, people are frequently looking for small patio trees, something that's going to get 6 to 10 feet or so, mm-hmm. as a nice little patio tree or lollipop, mm-hmm. and that'd be perfect for it.
The other one that works really well for that is
Raphaelis.
Majestic Beauty.
Mm-hmm. That is, and it's fragrant, and we've got
some nice examples of that in the parking lot in Poway that have been there for 22 years now, I guess.
What's the common name for that?
Raphaelis. Majestic Beauty.
Indian Hawthorn.
Yeah.
I think that's the common name he was looking for. Okay. But
the cult of
24 years, right?
Well,
98, 2 plus 2?
Yeah, I guess it is 24 years.
Right. Plus 3 divided by, yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
Carry the one.
And you're going to have fun starting next week with the fair installation.
Don't say it.
As far as I know, it's still going on.
It is going on. Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've been listening to I didn't know this until I've heard the commercials on the radio and on TV that they are only selling tickets online. And it makes no sense to me, but every commercial I've heard said tickets can only be purchased online.
So you can't just walk up to the box office and pick up
a ticket.
That's
what they say.
I
don't know if it's accurate, but they finish every commercial with, tickets can only be purchased online.
I wonder if that's because they can't social distance a line.
I don't know. I was thinking maybe it's to get it done in advance.
It could be.
But I don't know. I don't know. I can't imagine. Well, anyway, that's what I've heard on the commercials. But I don't know that yet. Well, yes, next week is
the installation
date.
The fair usually kicks off the beginning of June.
I think it opens on the 8th,
8th of
or
June.
9th,
okay.
Something like that. We have to be out by the 5th.
Okay.
So that's the most important date in my world.
At the San Diego Botanical Garden, I meant to mention, I think is it through June 7th that they're having their World of Orchids?
Orchids,
display?
Yes.
I thought it was
yes.
the 12th.
Or 12th, yeah. It's going on right now. And you do have to make reservations online for that to get into the conservatory. So,
yeah, World of Orchids, May 7th through June 12th.
Okay. So pick up your tickets online and go up and see that, because it should be pretty interesting. And I think John was saying they switch the stuff out about on a weekly basis. Sorry.
It looks like it's coming along quite nicely.
What,
the World of Orchids up at the Botanic Garden. I think they had a pre-show, and not I think.
I know.
And the pictures that I have seen from said pre-show are gorgeous, which means really nice in orchid plant.
In Spring Valley ease.
Spring Valley ease, yes. We did get in both stores last week all of that lovely citrus that we were expecting.
Oh, that's
okay,
right.
Good.
Yeah. The citrus is in. Avocados are well stocked
good supply of avos.
Really good supply of 5-gallon avocados and really nice 15-gallon avocados. Again, the 15s have been coming in short, but the ones that we have in this crop that have come in are just about what we would normally have size-wise. So those look really good.
I was going to make a short comment, but we'll let it go.
Thank you.
And we have a good I wasn't going to direct it at you.
Oh, okay. Not this time.
Not this time. And we do have a good selection of fruit trees because everything that was potted after the season has come in nicely. And you can really get a good selection of stone fruits if you want to.
They look really nice. They look really nice this now.
Right get your fruit at least a year sooner than waiting for another bare root season, which should be plentiful. And there were Fuyu persimmons.
Yeah, there's
nice looking trees.
There's a few other things that we can talk about, but we need to take a break. Oh. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Some of the other fruit trees that we have a very good supply of right now, standard citrus, not so much.
No.
Just not available right now.
However, semi-dwarf citrus is going to get generally between 8 and 15 feet tall. So
that's all you need.
There should be.
For most backyards,
it's absolutely plenty.
Yes.
Because they do produce proportionally the same amount of fruit as
they produce proportionally more.
Do they really?
You get more fruit per square inch on a semi-dwarf than you will on a standard. You will get more fruit overall eventually on a standard because it's so much bigger.
Well, there you go. But, yeah, figs are in good supply. You'd mentioned the mangoes and the persimmons. Those are in good supply right now. We have a good selection of bananas in stock. There were macadamias out there. Loquats. We had a couple of different loquats out there. I think we had Big Jim and Gold.
Was it Gold Nugget?
We had gold Nugget. Yes.
Yeah. Blueberries. Blueberries are looking pretty good. We got a fairly good supply of those right now. So if you want to start adding some fruit trees to your yard, now is a good time. And you don't want to wait until next fall. Now would be a good time to do it. And we do have some new suppliers coming online in the fall. So hopefully we'll have a few things that we hadn't been able to get for a while.
And now, too. I mean, that's why we have those persimmons right now and the citrus. And we have another quantity coming in of persimmons and mulberries at the probably around early November we should have those. So it's our supply chain is changing.
Yeah.
For the better.
It's improving.
It's improving.
Improving. Right.
Yeah. Now, some of the stuff that we're going to be getting in is going to be smaller than what we would normally have gotten. They're going to be kind of like the sleeved bare root stuff that we have. They should be off to a very good start as soon as you put them in the ground.
Because they are going to be rooted.
Yeah.
They're already growing.
Right.
And the ones that we did put into pots at the nursery in Poway, the fruit trees, the liquid ambers, all of those took right off and were more than a 5-gallon equivalent within a month or two, just immediately upon coming out. The pots they grow them in are vented on the sides, which they call it naturally root prunes them so that there are roots ready to go out as soon as they go into a new pot, mm-hmm. better than in a constrained pot. So anyway, they do seem to do quite well.
As you purchased a few and I did, I put mine in the ground. They're doing quite well. But I will tell you that if you don't put them in the ground immediately, those slotted containers require a lot more attention to get them
yes,
to water them.
Yes,
absolutely.
They do.
Can I go back to the Toyon for one moment? You were talking about the Toyon. You know, the common name for that here is that it's also called a Christmas berry because you had mentioned holly. It's also called a California holly, but it's the official – in 1912, it was the official native plant for the city of Los Angeles. And they passed a law because so many people were cutting them around the holidays. They passed a law that you had to have written permission to go and harvest them essentially from the landowners. Really? Because people would go and start cutting them down to have those holly berries in their house for Christmas.
I wonder if they're just enforcing your own. That.
What's that?
I wonder if they're enforcing that.
Well, it was in the 20s.
Okay.
So.
Well, I do remember driving.
I'm guessing no.
Once a few years ago, driving up Scripps Poway Parkway and under the eucalyptus in a couple of areas. I may have borrowed some for a class or something we were doing. May have. I don't recall.
I have a big one in the PQ house. It's a large tree that I've shaped as a tree over the years, and it's gorgeous, and it is very, very pretty in the winter when it's in full fruit.
I would normally just go to my parents' house and steal pyracantha, but sometimes you want something a little different.
Well, that was one other thing about North Carolina that I was going to mention, and I hadn't noticed it the last time that we were back there in May. They really like daylilies back in North Carolina, and as you're driving down the highways, there's huge patches of daylilies growing off on the side of the road. I mean, like 50, 60 feet by 20 feet long, just these massive islands of daylilies growing on the side of the road. I'm assuming that they go dormant in the wintertime back there, but this time of the year, they look
Take
amazing.
Off. You know, when I was many, many years ago driving back there with Audrey, taking her back to school, I had noticed in all of the – in many of the interchanges, they had lots of what I would consider wildflowers, but it was things like zinnias, and they were not wildflowers that they plant in the medians there and in the clover leaves and stuff. And all the interchanges, there was lots of wildflowers. And I guess if it rains naturally,
that's exactly the key. Is that
you can do that.
You could throw stuff everywhere, and it just grows because of the rain.
Well, speaking of wildflowers, we sell a wildflower seed mix at the nursery, and a customer brought to our attention that there were non-native wildflowers in the seed mix, so we shouldn't be selling it as such. But when you looked at the label, it doesn't say California wildflowers, it just says wildflower mix. So,
right.
And then when we went and looked at the plants that are in the seeds that are in the mix, none of them were invasive. They were all different kinds of wildflowers. They just were not California native wildflowers.
And they are ones that will do well in our drier climate. And one of the seeds in question was, because of a common name, there was a controversy because is some of the common name. Some of the plants by that common name are considered invasive species, but they're not in
botanical name.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Hence why it's important to sometimes not
Hence
use
therefore.
The common name.
Yes.
To help identify the correct plant.
The other thing that I saw come in to receiving yesterday, which I hadn't seen in quite a while, unless I just missed a delivery, grafted gardenias from Monrovia are back.
You have not just missed a delivery. We have not been able to get them for a while.
So they're not in huge quantities, but I know there were some Vichais, and I think there were some First Love. I don't know if there were other varieties.
I saw two or three
mysteries, but there are some in stock again.
I need to make a correction about my grafted gardenia. We talked about it last week in your absence, and I said it was probably 8 or 9 feet tall. It was a slight exaggeration. It is over the roof line of the house, but it's only, you know, closer to 7 feet.
Did you get a lot of complaints?
What?
Did you get a lot of complaints? That's why you had to make the correction?
No, but I noticed it looks taller than it is. So
the little radicans trees in full flower.
And the radicans trees are still at the nursery. They're gorgeous. Yeah. They're in 16-inch boxes.
Yeah.
We also, in houseplants, we have a lot of monsteras in stock now, which have been very hard to find. We have some as small as 8 or 10-inch, I think, and then up to the larger ones. So if you're looking something nice for the house, you can check that out as well. We'd also like to wish everybody a safe Memorial Day weekend, and we also wish Godspeed to all of those veterans that have given all in service of our country. And at that, I think we'll let that go.
Yeah.
Thank you all. And we will be back with another hour of Garden Talk here next Saturday, right here on KCBQ and KPRZ. Have an enjoyable weekend, folks.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.